You're listening to the Corner House podcast, available from www.cornerhouse.org.
Hi, and welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Sarah Perks, Corner House Program and Engagement Director. And this week we're going to depart a little bit from the usual routine. And we're having a special podcast that's all focused on the Asia Triennial Manchester Film Program. So we're going to introduce you to what that is, talk about some of the films and the people that are coming to visit us here at Corner House. And I'm joined by a couple of special guests to do that. First of all, I'll just tell you what the Asia Triennial Manchester is. This is the second edition. Obviously, it happens, you've guessed it, every 3 years. And it's basically a citywide festival, a triennial, that includes lots and lots of venues. I think there's about 20 venues taking part and arts organisations. And it's all about bringing artists from Asia to Manchester, but a kind of exploration, if you like, a curatorial exploration of what it means to be Asian and working in art that is deemed Asian in this current kind of climate. The theme of the Asia Triennial is time and generation. So we've taken that as a sort of curatorial departure point and then, you know, discussed it quite a bit, and then everyone's programmed different things in their own sort of spaces and venues around that theme. Some of the other venues that are taking part in the Asia Triennial include the Chinese Art Centre, John Ryland's Library, Mad Lab. There's lots of them. You must get on the Asia Triennial website to find that out. And there's also something very exciting taking place at Jodrell Bank as well, and also at the Manchester Museum with International 3. So do check out the full Asia Triennial programme. It all kicks off on Saturday, the 1st of October. And the website is www.asiatriennialmanchester.com. So get signed up to get the latest information. And there's also going to be more digital content on there about the ATM as well. But let's get on to our film programme, which is what we're specifically talking about. This hasn't happened before, so this is the first film programme for the second triennial. And we, myself and Andy Willis, my co-curator, decided to take the theme of time and generation and look at recent releases from East and Southeast Asia. So we didn't particularly programme with a geographical bias, but it turns out that the films are from a certain set of countries, so we don't want to be kind of limited by that. And appreciate there's plenty more countries we could have looked at, particularly in other parts of Asia, such as India or Pakistan. But we decided to focus down and keep it within East and Southeast Asia. So before I carry on, I just want to introduce a guest. You know Dr. Andy Willis from the University of Salford, so co-curator on this film programme and regular guest on the podcast. And I've also got Dr. Felicia Chan from the University of Manchester, who also specialises in this area and is also part of our Chinese Film Forum UK. So first of all, I'm just going to ask you two to tell us a bit about your thoughts of the current climate for Asian cinema in the UK. What are we watching? What's being distributed? What have you seen recently? Andy?
Well, there doesn't seem to be any real consistency about the sorts of films that are put into theatrical distribution, that is, the films that are shown at the cinema. There's a kind of occasional film from China, maybe an occasional film from Hong Kong, and there's been a few more recently from Japan, but there doesn't seem, as I say, to be any consistency. I think people will find that Asian cinema is being released much more on DVD than it is theatrically. So in a sense, I think the Asian Triennial Film Programme is a really great opportunity to see some of the most recent Asian films on the big screen, rather than having to watch them at home or people watching them on computers. Because obviously, you know, these films are designed to be seen on the big screen, and it makes a real difference, I think, if you get to see them in the cinema. So it's been a great opportunity to bring some of the best recent films from Asia and put them, as I say, onto the big screen and give people the opportunity to really enjoy them in the way that they were intended.
Felicia?
Well, at the moment, as you know, all eyes are on China, and the Chinese industry is expanding, and everyone is like looking for the latest Chinese blockbuster. But in the UK, very often what we get are the art house films rather than the commercial films. So there is that opportunity to do that in the UK. With regard to like Hong Kong films, the industry seems to be picking up after some years of being in the doldrums. There was an article in The Guardian quite recently about how Hong Kong films seem to be on the rise again, and it's good to see that we've got a couple of Hong Kong films in the ATM program this season.
And so also in terms of the theme, we were particularly, we took it fairly literally in a sense. We were thinking about intergenerational relationships and particularly films that focus on young people and older people's stories. We're also quite interested because this is an area that's quite marginalised usually in cinema. You don't, apart from maybe in art house films, you don't tend to kind of see those different experiences, if you like, on screen. Particularly, I think what marks this season out as interesting is there's so many older characters, and they take centre stage, and, you know, films like Lola, poetry, there's a lot to mention here, and their experiences are, you know, what carries the whole films. But let's start talking about one of the films. Let's start with, we've got the UK premiere, yes, that's the UK premiere of Under the Hawthorn Tree, which is the new film by Zhang Yimou. He's a very, perhaps the most well-known Chinese film director, did films like Hero, House of Flying Daggers. He's a famous fifth-generation filmmaker, as they call it, as they term all their filmmakers in the different generations that they came out of the film schools. Felicia, tell us a bit more about Zhang Yimou.
Well, Zhang Yimou is probably best known to UK and Western audiences for the films that he made in the 80s, the fifth generation films. Some of you may remember films like Raise the Red Lantern, Red Sorghum, Jido. But more recently, he's made these commercial blockbusters like House of Flying Daggers and Hero. But more recently, he seems to be returning to some of the sort of smaller and quieter films that he's made in the past. And I think Under the Hawthorn Tree is one of these recent examples.
What's Under the Hawthorn Tree about, Felicia?
Under the Hawthorn Tree is actually quite a simple film. It's set in the Cultural Revolution. But instead of focusing on the political turmoil, the film focuses on the romance between two young people. And the sort of the difficulties of getting together because of the political environment around them.
Who do you think is going to like this film?
Well, everyone pretty much. I mean, if you like sort of simple stories, very clear narrative, nothing too complicated, but yet at the same time have a certain kind of depth to it as well. It's a very good melodrama without being excessive, I think.
Okay, and Andy, what do you think of this film?
Well, I would say it's probably very excessive, not that excessive. I mean, at the end, I think it's one way of, you need to have a fair few hankies around, because I guarantee it, people that go to see it, you'll get the tear ducts flowing.
But you know, this in the context of Chinese blockbusters, we know that things like Aftershock, they're all designed to get the hankies out.
But for all that, it is, as Felicia says, you know, a really well-constructed melodrama, I think. It takes you through the story in a really engaging way, and I think you do feel very much for the characters. It does manage, I think, to get really balance having believable and engaging characters as opposed to maybe having very melodramatic two-dimensional characters. I think you do get a sense of the characters' motivations much more than maybe you do in the kind of wilder realms of the melodramas that we might see from China.
Okay, and also from China, as you all know, I'm very, very interested in artist film, and I'm delighted that we've got visiting Dong Bingfeng, who's the deputy director of the Iberia Centre for Contemporary Art in Beijing. So he's coming all the way from Beijing, he's bringing some artist short films, he's going to introduce them, do a Q&A, and he's also doing a special event that charts the history of artist film in China since 1990, which takes place at MMU, Manchester Metropolitan University, just down the road. So if that's something you might be interested, then check it out. The short films, the programme is called The Gaze Returned, and the talk, as I said, is called Artist Film in China since 1990. But let's move on to the special retrospective or the special focus of our Asian film programme. It's the Cannes Award-winning Philippine director Brillante Mendoza, and Andy's going to tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, well, Sarah and I were in at the Hong Kong Film Festival a couple of years ago, and one of the films that we saw there was Brillante Mendoza's Lola, which really fitted the themes of time and generation really, really well. And so that led us to try and discover a bit more about him. We knew that he was a Cannes Award-winning director, but we didn't really know the breadth of his work. So we did a little bit more looking into it, and we found that he's a really, really engaging director who has got a very distinctive kind of voice and visual style. So he had been an art director in films and in commercials for many, many years, and in 2005, it's only that recently that he turned to making feature films with a film called The Masseur, which won a lot of awards at digital film festivals because it's shot digitally on a very, very low budget. Since then, he's made a number of features at maybe two or three a year, so he's an incredibly prolific filmmaker, and year by year his works have got more and more confident, more and more mature, and so we thought now was absolutely the best time to have a retrospective of his work. Plus, as we've talked about already, he's one of those Asian directors whose work has won numerous awards at festivals, but hardly any of his films have appeared on UK cinema screens, and only one or two have been released on DVD. So he's a relatively unknown director, and he really should be much, much better known than he is. So it's going to be great that we're going to be able to show a selection of his key films during the Asia Triennial Film Programme, but most of all, we're going to be able to welcome him over for the gala screening of Lola, where he'll be present to chat with the audience and do a Q&A after the screening. And he's a very, very engaging, very articulate filmmaker. So I would recommend anyone who's interested in cinema, who is interested in filmmaking and wants to get into filmmaking through low-budget digital films, here's someone who really has grasped new technology, gone out and made some amazing films on really low budgets.
So as Andy said, an important thing is that Brillante is actually coming here. Yes, me and Andy cornered him literally into the corner of a cinema at the Hong Kong Film Festival earlier this year, and wouldn't let him out basically until he agreed to come to Manchester and do a Q&A here. So that's great. And the film itself that we're doing the Q&A around is called Lola, which is Philippine for grandmother. And we've all seen it and have an opinion on it. So Andy, tell us a bit about Lola.
Yeah, Lola is a really good introduction to Mendoza's work. I think it utilises all of the visual style that he's kind of honed over the last few years. And it's a very accessible film. It follows the story of a grandmother who has to enter into the Philippine legal system, which is a pretty labyrinthian place, as you can imagine, and she has to try and get some compensation from the other grandmother of the person who had attacked her son. And then the pair of them are thrust into this kind of mutual relationship where they really don't get on with each other because of what's happened, but they have to pull together to get them both through this, as I say, this incredibly complex system. It also shows off, I think, Mendoza's visual style, utilising these lightweight cameras and being in the real places where these sorts of people are living. There's some incredible location shooting, but most of all, there is two absolutely show-stopping performances from the two main actresses who are both in their 80s, and they are both transfixing on screen. I think they're absolutely fabulous.
Okay, Felicia, tell us what you thought of Lola.
I agree with Andy that the highlight for me was the two actresses who played the grandmothers. I mean, they were really, really riveting. And although the pacing was slow, it was not by any means boring, because the two characters were so engaging. And Mendoza's camera work, as Andy says, is pretty amazing. And I mean, he managed to get into really closed spaces and small spaces, the little shacks, and also shooting on the water when they were, because the community was living on these houseboats. It's unusual visually, and I think it's really worth coming down and seeing it, because it's a very rare opportunity.
For me, Lola, I mean, yeah, I'd echo all of those comments, but also the first thing I said after watching it is that I just felt I hadn't seen something like that for a while. It reminded me of films I would have seen in the 80s and 90s that were, if this exists, proper art house, ones that would transport you to another world. You felt like you were somewhere else. The particular sort of camera work is a little bit retro art house, I think. And that's what I really enjoyed. I just thought there's been so many, you know, kind of flashy and new things, but here's just, you know, a slice of life from somewhere else, really well told, really kind of just lose yourself in this world. So that was what I thought as soon as I left. And I'm delighted that we've, you know, got the chance to bring the film here with the director. Looking at some of his other films, we've got quite a lot showing. Felicia, you've seen Minoru, which means The Teacher. What did you think of that?
Minoru was really interesting for me because I think it straddled that divide between sort of fiction and reality. And the camera sort of follows this 12-year-old girl, I think, from a kind of Aboriginal community in the Philippines, who graduated from elementary school and then went back to her village to try and teach the elders in her village to read and write so that they could fill in these election ballot forms and vote in the 2004 Philippine elections.
And Andy, what else would you recommend from the selection?
Yeah, I think the film that really, apart from Lola, people will want to look out for is Kinatai, which is the film that Mendoza won the Best Director at Cannes for. It's an incredibly visceral film. It takes you on a kind of nightmare journey through Manila after dark. It has been criticised in some quarters for kind of presenting this very negative view of the Philippines and a lot of the people who live in Manila as a kind of underclass. But I think when you talk to Mendoza, you really get a sense that what he was trying to do was really explore the lives that some people are forced to lead because of the political situation in on the islands. It follows a character who is kind of thrust into a world that he's never really experienced before. It's a young student who's training to be a kind of scene of crime person in a criminology class, and he decides one night with one of his friends to join these gang of older men who are travelling around in a kind of transit van to hell, and they end up going through this pretty horrific series of events. Now, I don't want to say too much, as usual, because too much information would spoil the film. But just to say, once seen, never forgotten, I think, is what you would say about Kinatai. Sarah, you've seen it as well.
Yeah, and for me, the film, again, it's almost like a kind of modern classic of world cinema or art house cinema as well. I think it's got an undeservedly bad reputation. It's there's violence in it, but it's not a film about violence. It's about the sort of a relationship between the young kid and the fellow kind of gangsters and the people involved. It's very much about relationships and the pressure, kind of a critique of society and corruption as well. It's not a hyper-violent Asian film. It's a story more about kind of humanity, and it's very well-paced and very well-told and not exploitative.
Yeah, I mean, really, the film, it all revolves around, the decisions that you make in everyday life. And if you make the wrong decisions, your whole life can spiral out of control. And it is one of those films where you sit there thinking, oh my God, I'm glad I didn't make any decisions like that and I haven't ended up in those sorts of situations. But like you say, I mean, it really is, I think Sarah's right, it's important to say it's not a kind of excessively violent film just for the sake of it, where you're kind of celebrating the violence. In this film, it's violence that comes out of particularly awful situations that the people are put in. And there's no way at all, I don't think, that Mendoza is celebrating that. But he's just showing it because, certain parts of where he's from, I think, are very, very violent.
Okay, also a large part of this Asia Triennial Film Programme is some films from Hong Kong. We have some short films called Quattro Hong Kong 1 and 2. These were made by the Hong Kong Film Festival over the last few years, and they're an amazing selection of established directors. In the first part of this, you've got a load of Hong Kong directors, Fruit Chan, Herman Yao, Clara Law, and a new kid that we showed in our Visible Secrets programme a few years ago, Haywood Mack. And in the second part of the programme, the focus moves to Southeast Asian directors. We've got Brillante Mendoza, who you now know all about. You've got a Pitcher Pong from Thailand, who did the Uncle Bumi film that I'm sure lots of you saw. And also Ho Yung Hang from Malaysia. And also joined by one Hong Kong veteran, Stanley Kwan. So do try and catch those short films. And they're also a UK premiere. So it's 8 short films, about 15 minutes each. It's a very enjoyable watch. Also, we've got a couple of feature films. We've also got the UK premiere of The Stool Pigeon, directed by Dante Lam. Andy, tell us about this one.
Dante Lam is definitely one of the up-and-coming Hong Kong action film directors. He made a film a couple of years ago called Beast Stalker, which is, I think, one of the best Hong Kong films of the past decade. And this film, I think, is nearly as good as that. It's a really good crime drama. If you're someone who likes Hong Kong crime dramas, then this is the film to see. It's a kind of cop who's developing a conscience, but he has to exploit criminals to get the information, his stool pigeons, where the film's title comes from. And so it's this tension between the character wanting to make arrests, but also feeling that he's overly exploiting and putting these often petty criminals who are on the peripheral of the kind of Mr. Bigs that are always in Hong Kong crime films. And again, this is no exception there. It's got some amazing set pieces. There's an incredible martial arts fight in a kind of disused school or something where there's about a million chairs being thrown around all over the place. It's got some incredible car chases, something that Dante Lam is particularly good at. So if you want to catch up with, a cutting-edge Hong Kong action film, again, we're not seeing as many of them as we were maybe 6 or 7 years ago, then Stool Pigeon is one I would definitely recommend.
And also from Hong Kong, we've got a new take on the kung fu comedy called Gallants. Andy, tell us about this as well.
I really, really laughed all the way through Gallant. It's a really, really funny, gentle comedy. It's about a young man who works for a kind of an estate agent or a mortgage broker or something like that, and he has to go and collect some money from an old tea shop. And when he arrives there, he finds all these old fellas running the tea shop. And those eagle-eyed people in the audience will think, oh, I recognise a couple of these fellas. And, of course, they're all stars from the 1980s kung fu genre. They're quietly living this life up in the hills in their tea shop. And, of course, as the story progresses, somebody else comes round to the tea shop, starts trying to bully them, and, of course, he's picked on the wrong people. So, slowly, all their martial arts skills become apparent, and there's lots of comedy martial arts fighting all the way through the film, topped off by an absolutely brilliant comedy turn by Teddy Robin, who's a great... People might remember him from some of the old Jackie Chan films. Instantly recognisable comedy actor from Hong Kong. And he has a brilliant role as a guy who was the sifu or the teacher to all the old fellas running the tea shop. But he's been in a coma. And when he comes out of his coma, he still thinks he's a young man who can pull all the women. And I have to say, it's got one of the most amazing kung fu disco sequences ever. And that's definitely one that I wouldn't miss.
Gosh, and if that's not exciting enough, then it will be followed by myself doing a post-screening Q&A with the director, Derek Kwok. He's a co-director, but he'll be here answering all your questions. So we've got an exciting film, and then your chance to pose your questions alongside myself with the director. What more could you want? Okay, so Felicia, what else are you looking forward to from this ATM film programme?
Well, one of the highlights, I think, is the film called Poetry by the Korean director Lee Chang-dong. I saw the film at the Berlin Film Festival earlier this year. It's really worth watching. It's the story of a grandmother who's slowly succumbing to Alzheimer's disease. But while she's still lucid, she's taking this poetry class while still trying to cope with taking care of her sort of disenfranchised teenage son. It's a very quiet film, but a very moving film as well. So it's definitely something to look forward to.
And Andy, any final highlights from you?
Well, I would just flag up, I think, the last film that's part of the programme, which is a Taiwanese film called Hotel Black Cat. This is a really quite charming film. It's set in a kind of rundown motel, and it tells the interweaving stories of the residents of this hotel. Some of them are serious, some of them are funny, some of them are quite dark, and then we are drawn into interesting worlds. It's made by a young director called Herb Shuli Wen, and it's her debut film. She's only in her 20s, and again, she's coming over. One of the highlights, again, for me this year has been the fact that we've been able to get these directors to come over. She's, as I say, a young director. She's worked with, again, digital technology to complete this first feature, and it'd be really interesting to talk to her in terms of the Taiwanese film industry, but also how she came up with the ideas for what is a very idiosyncratic film.
Okay, thank you, Felicia. Thank you, Andy. That's all we've got time for, I'm afraid. I really hope you've enjoyed our special ATM Film Programme podcast. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all, not just at all the films, but especially at the Q&As with our special guest directors. So you can find out all about the Asia Training on Manchester on the Asia Training on Manchester website. And also you can get the exact film screening times and dates from the Corner House website. I have to warn you, most films only screen in once, so do make sure you catch them. Of course, that's www.cornerhouse.org/film. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Corner House podcast.